Oh, in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you and set off our praise, Lord God, to you. God, let us launch into new heights this morning, God. Lord, thank you. And Lord, let us be changed this morning. God, as your word says, change from glory to glory into the very image of your precious Son. Lord, allow that, God. Open our hearts. Jesus, tender us this morning, Lord. Let us see that cross. Let us see, praise God, oh, that wonderful Lamb, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father, for Him, the beloved one, our shepherd, our friend. Oh, and thank you, Lord, for the message, the proposal, our soon coming bridegroom. Jesus, just have your way. May we just again see the beauty of you. And Lord, may we lift you up. And in lifting you up, how, praise God, we are lifted up. How we feast upon you and rise up, Lord God. Help our unbelief this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm encouraged to pray for ones here this morning. Their bodies aren't feeling well. Their minds aren't feeling well. In Jesus' name and in the power, Lord God, of that name. Come in right now, Lord God, and quicken them, Lord. Oh, to praise you, Lord, for the need. To praise you for the grace, Lord God. And Lord, to call out to you this morning, Lord, that you are the great physician. You are the one that, hallelujah, by your stripes we are healed. Lord, come in as only you can. And let your word, Lord God, strengthen every joint. Lord, every part. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Want to be in tune and thanking the Lord that He wants it more than we would ever want it. And we'll go to Acts 26 today, Luke 24, Acts 9, and maybe Philippians 3. Maybe be there in the presence of Him. But I'm so thankful in Jesus' name He's in here in the presence of us. Hallelujah. But I've been so overwhelmed, as you turn to Acts 26, with the outpouring of His love and His mercy. The Spirit and the anointing that God is giving. Not has given, but He is giving us. The truth in love, I thank God, building more and more in the saints of the Most High. And I thank God there's an intensity building in those that are ready. Amen. I thank God it's to the point of a spontaneous combustion. Just ready to blast off and lift off is here. And thanking the Lord that He does that. Grateful to Him. And it's because we know He's coming. We know He's coming because of His word, not because I feel it. I feel a lot of things that I probably shouldn't feel. But I'm going to tell you something. It's because His word has told us so. When you see these things come to pass, look up. For I'm ready to come. I'm about to come. I'm on the wing. And brothers and sisters, He's making His final moves on us. And He is. He's calling out. And that call, thanks be to God, has always been the same. Will you go? Will you go? That comes from that precious story of the bride for Isaac, that sweet little Rebecca, as the servant was sent to him from Abraham, the master. And that servant, praise God, Eliezer, representing the Holy Ghost, saw that sweet woman at the well. Precious Rebecca. And he tells not just a story, but he gives her the very proposal, praise the Lord, of the bride for Isaac. And so quickly, came the question, will you go? And so quickly came the response, I will go. And thanks be to God, the intensity even built so quickly that, praise the Lord, she wasn't going to delay one bit. I will go. Now, that's beautiful stuff. And praise be to God, that is our reality. Because the Word of God tells us so. It's not just grand thinking. It's just what the Word of God tells us so. And anything in the Word of God is not grand thinking. It's what the Word of God tells us so. It's just like the coming of Christ, that He would be born, this baby in a manger. They thought, I'm sure most of them thought the same way. Oh, that's just grand thinking. That's a really neat, wonderful story. Just like people today, and I'm talking about God's precious people, you talk to them about heaven. Oh, yeah, we're going to heaven and all that. Yeah, but the Lord's coming. Oh, yeah, that was just a grand story. Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't a grand story to them that beheld the birth of Jesus Christ in that manger. It wasn't a grand story to them that believed that He would be nailed to the cross. It wasn't just a grand story to just the very few that went to the tomb to see Him, to know, hallelujah, that He ain't there. It ain't a grand story. He has arose. And then praise the Lord, it wasn't just a grand story when He said, I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And praise be to God, He departed and left. But He said, as you have seen me go in like manner, I will come again. Now, we're right there. Is that a grand story? Or do you think it's the same thing about the Word of God? It's just so. Huh? Oh my. But yet with all this reality, brothers and sisters, you know, He's calling out to us like He always has. Don't neglect so great salvation. Don't neglect this. Don't just be numb to it. Salvation with eternal glory is at hand. It's right before us. Yet here we are, and are we really responding to the high calling love? Are we rising up? Are we really standing, looking up, and really like launch rockets ready to take off? Or do we walk around, and it's all down here, and it's all downhill? That's exactly where the enemy wants you. Not looking in here, which will have you looking up and ready to take flight. And that's today's thought, brothers and sisters. It's every Sunday's thought. Where are we spiritually? Where are we spiritually? The ark is boarding now. It's boarding now. Right now. And are you on board? Heard from my sister-in-law and my brother. They were, dilly-dallying in an airport, and finally heard the last boarding call, and here they come flying down the concourse. Wait, we got to get on. How about being on? Amen. Thanks be to God they got on. They're here this morning. But the ark is boarding now. And the wife hath made herself ready. And she has taken her seat. And she rests. She's in. And she believes. Praise be to God. See, brothers and sisters, if we're not on board, the alternative is one thing. We're still out meandering around. And believe it or not, just like in Noah's time, there were ones meandering around and the raindrops were falling. And wow, this is kind of cool. See, they'd never seen rain at that time. But it's just raining. Something's interesting's happening. But those that were in the ark said, oh no, it is happening. Liftoff is commencing. Liftoff is commencing. And I'll tell you something. He's coming. We must wake up. Or yes, as we've heard, you will be left behind. Amen.
Acts 26, 22. This is Paul speaking to King Agrippa. And he says there, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Isn't that amazing? See, we live in a time that all of those prophets, it even tells us in Hebrews and Ephesians and Colossians, that all of the things that they wrote and even wanted to look into and understand, it wasn't for them, but they wrote them for us. Read the Word of God. Know how important and precious you are to Christ, especially in this age. He will have grace upon whom he'll have grace. And here he goes on to say in verse 23 that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. I've had a couple of people thought I was nuts that expressed it. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. That means alertness and to be awake and alive. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now there are some most profound statements by men in the Word of God. And they're very telling statements, and we're going to address a couple more. But they reveal exactly where the state of their heart is. And right here in this text, thou almost persuadest me. Almost persuadest me. I remember about 12 years back, a neighbor of ours was at the home. And Brother Hill was at the house. And matter of fact, it was a lady that was putting together a biography for him. And he sat there and he witnessed to this woman for 2 hours. And she sobbed and she cried and she wept. And she seemed to be right on that threshold. But at the end of that witnessing, her response was, not today. Thou almost persuadest me. And 12 years have passed by, and still to this day she remains lost and dead in her sins. Thou almost persuadest me. And my heart grieves because time is about up. But that statement should convict us as well. You think about after hearing the truth and hearing this bridal message and hearing, praise God, the word of his grace. And I've seen people come and go through this place. Well, now for over 40 years, but especially these past 10 years as pastor here, I've seen them come and go. Thou almost persuade me to believe Paul's gospel. Thou almost persuadest me that, man, there's a love and a joy in here. But my church didn't preach that to me. Thou almost persuadest me to believe Paul's gospel, but that's not what my religion believes. Thou almost persuadest me, just like the sons of the prophet, if you really know that precious story about Elijah when he was taken up into heaven, there in that chariot. And it said that Elisha, he said, oh, Elijah, I'm not going to leave thy side. I want to go with you. I want to be right there. And there were all of these ones, the sons of the prophets, that followed along, but they saw those things afar off. They didn't want to enter into that. They just wanted to look at it. and to see, wow, is this thing really going to happen? Is it really true? Whereas Elisha, who was following Elijah right at his side, he wasn't going to see if this thing was true. He was waiting for the moment to happen. Ready, believing. And we do know what happened because the word of God said again it would be. Amen? It wasn't an if, it was just a when. And it was coming, and it came. And those sons of the prophets saw that it happened. But because they were not there in it, because they did not believe it, because they did not follow it and lay hold as Elijah did to the word, Elisha did to the word of God represented in Elijah, Elisha was the only one that was asked, even though he didn't get a go, what wilt thou have? He said, oh, I want a double portion of what that guy just got. Huh? There's Christians I speak to about the word of God and to tell them about Paul's gospel and this bridal message. The word of God tells us there'll be ranks in the resurrection. There'll be those that'll be seated in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. There'll be those, as it's pictured, that are holding palms and waving them as servants. Matter of fact, that's the innumerable multitude. That's the majority of Christianity. They want to be servants. They don't want to rule and reign with Christ because they don't want to believe the word of God and believe everything that he has. Galatians 4:1 tells us that every child of God is a little Lord of all. There's no respecter in what you're born into when you're born into the things of God. You have it all. You're a little Lord of all of it. Your inheritance is everything. But the question is, in that precious portion of Scripture, will you just remain this child and never grow up into what God has already gifted you and given you to? And if you remain the child, you know what it says? It says your mind, your knowledge will be only that of what a servant is in the kingdom, even though you should be ruling and reigning over it all. And isn't that just ironic that there in Revelation, the majority of God's precious people are going to be standing there with palms in their hands, waving them, saying, salvation to our God. I love the salvation that the Lord has given. It's awesome. It's wonderful, isn't it? But we're offered at this time salvation with eternal glory. Hallelujah. Amen. To be glorified together with Jesus Christ. That means the same. See, people, oh, you shouldn't say that. Why shouldn't I say that? It's the word of God. Amen. It's the word of God. Can't you see that type in Elisha? I'm sure the sons of the prophets, they were probably a little bit upset with him. How dare you ask for a double portion? Who do you think you are? Well, that's what I was offered, and God gave me that unction. I want a double portion. Well, that's the same thing with what we're offered today in a type, but even better. I can be a mature, full son. I don't have to be, by the grace of God, a servant in the kingdom. By the grace of God, he wants me to be his equal, his wife, that body that will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. Go on over to Luke 24. Isn't this good stuff? Man, I knew every day. Luke 24:13. This is those two disciples. The day that Christ arose on the way to Emmaus. And behold, in verse 13 of chapter 24 of Luke, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, meaning the crucifixion. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. See, Jesus showed up, but they didn't know it was Jesus. See, he was out of that tomb. He had risen from the grave. But they didn't know it was Jesus. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have with one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we have trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. See, we trusted that it was going to be him that was going to redeem us. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And they hadn't seen Jesus. Think about this. Yea, and certain women also to our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women, and said, but him they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, that's exactly who these brothers were. That's exactly who these brothers represent. Brothers that have been told the truth. And you're always told the truth by the word. Did you know that? Just like they were told the truth by the word, you are being told the truth by the word. The word of God, this word right here, praise God. The word always gives us the truth. Amen. And the truth was, and the truth is, I'm going to be crucified. I will rise again in 3 days. But even though they heard the truth, even though the truth continues to minister to them, they are still slow to believe. Now, what were they thinking? The same thing we think about truth. Well, you know, I know the word told us that he would die and rise again. But it's so far out. It's so unbelievable. It just couldn't be. It doesn't look that way. Now, I'm going to ask you. What are you saying about the bridal message today? That the prophets have spoken unto us. Where are we? Huh? Are you in this same state of slow to believe? Or by the grace of God, have you ran to the tomb? And then when you were witnessed about it, why didn't you run to the tomb, huh? How many times? How many times? Later on, in a few verses, it says, it caused their heart to burn. But you know when their burning was? It was after he was gone. There's going to be a lot of burning hearts after the first trump. God help us. Our hearts are on fire now. This word of God does that. Neutral you cannot be. You're either cold this morning or your heart is aflame with something. Amen. And by the grace of God, let's not quench that. Let's not allow that flame to be just quenched in unbelief. As I said earlier, I've seen it so many times. People come in here. They get so inspired. They get so on fire for the things of God. They come in here new and they say, oh, Brother Jess, I just never heard things like this. And it is there in the Word of God. I see that it is the Scriptures. This is what the Scriptures say. And they get on fire and they get all excited and they get so happy in the Lord. But just as quick as they caught on fire, that flame goes out and then they're gone. Gone. They testify, the fellowship, but yet they're gone. Turn on over to Acts 9. And here's why. There is but one mark. There is a brother that is the chief of sinner, that it says, follow Paul as he followed Christ. These are so prophetic and profound words at his conversion that was the same theme throughout all of his life by the grace of God. Acts 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, this is Saul before he even became Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, notice here, he didn't just get caught up in excitement. He didn't just feel, well, you know what, I just got to go tell everybody about my experience of what just happened. This brother got real still. This brother, praise be to God, got real shut up to the Lord and said, Lord, the Word, the truth, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, what did the Lord have Paul to do? To receive, praise God, the mystery of Christ Jesus in the church. Amen. That was it. I'm telling you, from that, everything else happened. What did the Lord have Paul to do? To receive the message of the bride of Christ. Amen. The message of the glory of God's grace. The message, praise God, of the grace and glory. And to continue on in grace, to stand in grace, to grow in the word of his grace. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? To be built my masterpiece of grace for all glory. What wilt thou have me to do? To win me. To be my bride. Yes. To receive the highest calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's close this in Philippians 3. Brother Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, here we are at the very end of Paul's ministry after over 30 years of walking with the Lord. As the first words came out of his mouth to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And in the 13th verse of the third chapter of Philippians, here's your answer. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. One thing I do. And what is that? Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. This means I run toward the mark. That means for the most excellent, highest measure, the goal. For the prize. The victory of the high calling of God. And get this, the highest, that word calling means embrace. The highest embrace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I've been embraced before in a lot of times in my life. My first embrace was from my sweet mom. Dad shortly followed. Brothers and sisters, wonderful friends, cousins, relatives, awesome. But the highest embrace of my life was the day that I married my sweet wife. And the highest embrace that God wants you to attain is the embrace of His Son. Well done. Welcome home, my bride. Praise be to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, help us to pull away from Thou almost persuadest me. God, help us to leave the shore of slow to believe. Lord, You brought us here this morning, God, to be quickened in faith, to feast upon Your Word, and to rise up, Lord God, and to say, I will go. That this is mine. It's not something for me to see afar off. This is for me to fully enter into. Lord, You've given me that place. Praise God. You've seen it for me in ages past in Your Son. Lord, help us to believe You. To take it, Lord God. To apprehend it. As Brother Paul said, if by any means I might attain, Lord, unto Your glory. Oh, Lord, to that resurrection, to that time of the trump, to meet You in the air. Jesus, help us to believe it. Help us simply to say, Lord, You did say these things. Yes. Just like You have always said these things. And it always comes to pass. Lord, let us be those that believe. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Thank You, God.